Hello, it's Tuesday, June 3rd, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. One of the worst escalations since the ceasefire with Iran was reached 2 months ago. Iranian missiles have slammed into Kuwait's international airport. How long are America's Gulf allies going to have to absorb such attacks? I'll be discussing that with Dr. Eric Mandel in just a moment, but first, the headlines. Kuwait has suspended international flights after Iran attacked its airport. Several drones and missiles struck Terminal 1, injuring a number of people and causing structural damage. Bahrain also came under fire. Iran says it was defending itself after what it said were American attacks on one of its oil tankers in the Strait of Hormuz and another on infrastructure on Keshem Island. As Iran says it's still studying a US proposal for a deal, Secretary of State Marco Rubio says Supreme Leader Mojtaba Khamenei is increasingly calling the shots. Israel and Hezbollah continue to trade fire despite a partial ceasefire brokered by the United States. The IDF has issued evacuation warnings for several towns and villages in southern Lebanon, and an IDF reservist was moderately wounded and three others lightly wounded in a Hezbollah drone attack on Tuesday. The fighting comes as Israeli and Lebanese officials continue talks in Washington aimed at preventing further escalation. Israel's government has approved a new $4.5 billion package aimed at rebuilding and fortifying communities along the Lebanese border. The plan includes thousands of new bomb shelters, compensation for damaged homes, reinforced buildings, and a sweeping five-year reconstruction plan. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu called the measures dramatic, while opposition leaders accused him of neglecting northern residents after failing to attend a special Knesset session on the crisis. Israel has barred entry to Linda Sarsour, the Palestinian-American activist and advisor to New York's mayor. Diaspora Affairs Minister Amichai Shikli said the move was intended to protect Israel from activists who try to isolate and weaken the Jewish state. He accused her of supporting anti-Israel campaigns and protests backing Hamas following the October 7 attacks. Sarsour condemned the decision, calling Israel an apartheid regime and insisting she was being punished for advocating Palestinian rights. And Israel's high-tech sector is booming despite war and regional instability. Last year, the industry generated record exports, investments, and exits. But beneath the strong numbers, warning signs are emerging. For the first time in more than a decade, the number of R&D employees working inside Israel is falling, while more companies shift operations and talent overseas. A new report from the Israel Innovation Authority warns that unless Israel can retain investment and skilled workers at home, the foundations of the startup nation could be at risk. Before we get to today's conversation, a warm word of thanks to our sponsors. Steve and Adina Fredman made today's episode possible. If you'd like to sponsor the program, just drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now, here's Dr. Eric Mandel. We've just had a major attack on Kuwait. How long can America's Gulf allies be expected to sustain these attacks?
Well, I believe until the president concedes to enough of the Iranian demands, this is going to continue. The Iranians believe that they can outweigh the president. They think the president has constraints, the midterm elections, the 250th anniversary, July 4th, the World Cup coming to North America. You have all of these things that seemingly the president would like to get past. Iran is in no hurry. And the longer this goes on, that plays into Iran's strategy. They believe the president will concede the things that he does not want to give up. The first being Hormuz, but Hormuz was never part of what went on in the beginning. We have a ceasefire now in name only. We have wasted a tremendous amount of time. This quote ceasefire is longer now than the actual kinetic action we have. Every day that passes is another missed opportunity for America to reopen the straits. The straits are a binary choice. You must open this international waterway, and it's going to have to be opened by force, and it's going to need to be opened permanently. And that means there's going to have to be an American / international presence that's there. The Gulf allies, whether it's Kuwait or Saudi Arabia or Bahrain or UAE, don't believe that America is there for the long run, or at the very least, that the Iranians are going to outweigh the president. And in a little over 2.5 years, no matter what Ezra's agreed to, the next president will not intervene.
Marco Rubio, the U.S. Secretary of State, just said Mojtaba Khamenei is alive and he's actually directing the negotiations now. Doesn't that just make it almost impossible to reach an agreement?
I don't believe that. I believe, and as I have believed way before this all started, that whoever was going to become the next supreme leader was going to be run by the IRGC. I think it's mainly the IRGC leaders that are making the decisions. And again, the Iranian strategy is, if we are still here at the end, we will survive. We have the time to rebuild.
So do you think it's time now for Trump to walk away?
They don't care if he walks away. But what he has to do is reopen the straits. He needs to not only continue the current blockade, he needs to increase secondary sanctions on nations that buy anything or deal with Iran. By the way, Iran is getting some oil out, even though it's not a lot, via a rail transit. So if anybody is getting that, if it's getting to China, we should be increasing secondary sanctions. We need to put the pressure there. The other question is, if the president really wants to put pressure on Iran, the answer is make the regime look internally. That means supporting the Iranian protesters. That means talking again about, we, America, are pro-Iranian, we're pro-Iranian people, and that we're going to build the apparatus to help the Iranian people stand up. And that would include not just logistics, not just cyber, not just helping the desperate communities, the majority Persians who still want to be against the regime, but the Azeris, Baluchs, Lors, Turks, Kurds, to begin to work together. And that will mean having us arming them, similar to what we did in Afghanistan many years ago in the 80s with the Mujahideen. Now, the big difference is that people say, look, what ended up at the end of that? That was a Taliban. Well, what will end up at the end of this is an Iranian people who overwhelmingly are going to be not only anti-regime, but are going to be more inclined not to be aggressive against the West or aggressive against their neighbors, one that is closer to an Israel that's there. The president said it's never been what we've wanted, but that is what it is. And if the IRGC is forced to face a uprising of armed groups, and we look at this and we have slow patience, 2.5 years is enough time to make a difference, but it's not going to be pretty. It will be regime collapse and then hopefully positive regime change. You're never going to get rid of the remnants of the IRGC, just like you never got rid of the remnants of ISIS. But the choice otherwise is to make a deal with the devil, and that the president is trying to do that and is learning that the art of the deal when you're dealing with Shiite jihadists is not easy.
Are Israel and the Trump administration still on the same page when it comes to Lebanon? Because Israel desperately wants to go in and finish off Hezbollah.
Israel has been restrained in this Iranian negotiations for a while. I've been to Israel a number of times. I've been up with the 91st Division a couple of times. And they have, even when they were acting in a limited fashion. It almost had echoes of what happened with Rafah, you know, in the Gaza operation, slowing Israel down. Is Israel going to be able to accomplish everything it really wants? The answer is no, but what does it really want to accomplish? I'm not sure it really knows. It's not going to be able to disarm Hezbollah because it's not going to occupy all of Lebanon. What it can do is make significant achievements. If I was an Israeli, I would be making as many achievements as possible because sooner or later, the president is going to stop you. The president stopping Israel from striking the Beirut southern suburbs, the heart of Hezbollah, is a mistake. That shows in the Arab world weakness. Certainly in the Persian-Iranian world. And brilliantly, the Iranians have tied Lebanon to the Iranian negotiations. Now, granted, these two things are one and the same in the sense of being the major proxy of Iran, but the two fronts were supposed to be two different tracks of negotiations. So getting them on one track has been an advantage that America has received nothing for. So what will Israel be able to do? Hopefully, the president will allow Israel to continue to strike in southern Lebanon, to continue to take territory beyond the yellow yellow line. But if they don't have the ability to strike in the southern suburbs of Beirut or in the Bekaa Valley, then they are going to rebuild Hezbollah, and it's going to be a fight for another day. Kicking the can down the road in Lebanon may be the best that you could hope for, but what about the poor citizens of northern Israel? If you can't allow 100,000 people to live there safely, then it's not a country that, it will be looked upon as a major concession that is always going to be somewhat under fire, just like Iran wants to continually threaten the Straits of Hormuz. Those two things cannot be allowed. The president needs to take the handcuffs off of Israel, let it do what it needs to do. And I think the president needs to realize that the Iranians are not going to acquiesce to him. There's a deal there for the Iranians. They could give up their enriched uranium and open the straits, and that would actually give them a chance of survival in the negotiations. They've tied Lebanon, and they've taken off enrichment, proxies, plutonium, weaponization, all the other things that were supposed to be part of what's going on. So Iran right now is just playing the war of clocks, and the Persian clock is much slower, more patient than the American clock.
That's it. That's your Israel in 10. Thanks for watching, and do subscribe using the link below. Goodbye.